Stay with us, Lord. That was the plea of the two men accompanied by Jesus, unknowingly accompanied by Christ risen. Stay with us, Lord. You know, for many of us, we can feel in life that God is not with us. We interpret God's presence in our lives to manifest itself through good health, financial stability, a peaceful, joyful life, a healthy marriage, a robust, healthy, flourishing family, children, grandchildren, a practice of faith in the home that becomes a place of prayer. But more often than not, that does not describe our lived reality and our family experience. When we think the Lord is with us, it's oftentimes because He has answered the prayers we have made. What we've asked for, He's given. What we've pursued, we've attained. What we've asked from the Lord, He has provided. And when that doesn't happen, is He really with us? Or is He even alive and real? The apostles had plans and expectations for Jesus that were their own. He was the one who was going to liberate us from Israel. And instead of conquering our enemies and establishing the new throne upon David, the king of old, He was crucified naked between two thieves. This is not what we wanted. It is not what we expected. God is dead. That's how it was for the men leaving Jerusalem, walking these 11 kilometers all the way to Emmaus. Everything that they had expected God to do, He didn't. And so they left. So often for us as Catholics, we create a God of our own making. Jesus is the one who, fill in the blank, cures me of my illness, saves my marriage, makes me popular, helps me overcome my addiction, helps me get through mental illness, etc., etc., etc. We create a God with good intentions, with good desires, with valid prayers and petitions. And when the God that we have created does not fulfill our expectations, well, then He's dead. And like them, we're downcast. And we're prevented from seeing the real God revealed in scriptures accompanying us. See, that was what was the problem for the men walking to Emmaus. The God that they had imagined, the God that they had created, the God upon whom they have placed their own expectations did not meet up to those expectations. And so they left. Like so many Catholics, the God that I expect and that I believe in didn't match up to my expectations, and so I'm done. But what does Jesus do, this stranger walking with them? He shows them the Hebrew scriptures. He shows them the Old Testament. He gives them, arguably, the greatest Bible study course in the history of creation. And He shows them that the God they believed in and expected is not the God of sacred scripture. And He proved to them that Jesus fulfilled what scripture said would happen. They were able to put aside their expectations, the creation of their own God in their image and their likeness, and be revealed to how God truly is based on His word. Their hearts were burning within them. They realized that this was the truth, that they had to put aside their expectations of God and live based on what God had foretold and how God reveals Himself through sacred scripture. That's why St. Jerome would often say, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Who's the Jesus you believe in if it's not based on scripture? Who's the Christ you and I have created in our own minds if it is informed by scripture and sacred tradition? So often in our ignorance, we do not know the Lord. And so we create a God of our own expectations. And when He doesn't meet up to those expectations, like the disciples in today's gospel, well, we walk away from Jerusalem. We walk away from Rome and go back to our old way of life. In the meantime, Christ accompanies us. We don't see Him because He's not what we expect. We don't recognize Him because He's not doing what we asked. But He hasn't left us. He walks with us, hidden. The disciples realize this is somebody important, and they make that prayer that we have at the heart of every desire to God: stay with us, Lord, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. Don't leave me, Jesus. And what happens? Because they stay with Jesus, or invite him to stay with them, they finally recognize him risen from the dead. Not because he conquered the Romans and established the kingdom of Israel again, like David, King David of old. They recognized him, what? In the breaking of the bread. It's a euphemism for the Mass. That's what they called the Mass in the first centuries of Christianity, the breaking of the bread. At every Mass, once the bread and wine have been consecrated and transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, the priest does the fracture rite. He breaks the bread. Going back to this gospel passage, in every Mass, it was in the breaking of the bread that they recognized, this is Jesus, and he is risen. When then suddenly he disappears from their midst, he vanishes from their sight. When we persevere in spite of our expectations not being met of a God of our own creation, but continue to faithfully come to Mass, at some point God will give us the grace to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. It's not the God we expect or want, but it's the God who truly is and who can give us more than we could ever dream, imagine, expect, or want, or ask. He did that for the disciples in his day and the apostles, and he continues that even now. If only we would look up at the breaking of the bread and recognize that he is alive and risen in our lives, and that everything is different because of it, including our expectations of God. So what happens when they recognize him in the breaking of the bread? They return to Jerusalem. They go back, if you will, to Rome, to the heart of the church, to the apostles, to the leadership, to proclaim that he is risen. We saw him in the breaking of the bread. But if we walk away from church, Rome, Jerusalem, because God is dead to us as per our expectations, and we no longer witness the breaking of the bread, how will we ever recognize him? How will we ever see him again? It's in the breaking of the bread that they realized it is Jesus. This is Jesus. And they returned to do what they were called to from the beginning, to be witnesses of faith, even to the bishops and the Pope. Jesus is risen. Just as Mary Magdalene did. She was the first to tell the Pope and bishops, the first to say those words, he is risen. He is not dead. So it must be for us, as we recount in the scriptures how Christ reveals himself in sacred scripture and in the tradition of our liturgy, the breaking of the bread, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to then go out of here and tell others, he is risen. Come back to Jerusalem. Come back to Rome. Come back to faith. Come back to the church and witness and come to know God as he truly is. Maybe different from your expectations, but far more life-giving than we could ever imagine or dream. And so today, in this third Sunday of Lent, we make the petition and prayer of the men leaving Jerusalem our own. Stay with us, Lord, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over, and we need him risen. Risen from the dead, risen above our expectations, risen to give us hope and purpose again, that we might see him now, once again, in the breaking of the bread.